the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes. To show we were wrong. So we follow God's own fool, for only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable, come be a fool as well.
Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Amen. Our God is worthy of worship. He's worthy of praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory. The book of Revelation tells us, amen. Amen. That's where those words come from, the book of Revelation. When the Lord calls us all home to be with him, we'll be singing, hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power to the Lord our God. Yes, we praise him. Lord God, we praise you this morning. Lord, you are so worthy of worship. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our thanks, Lord. We don't praise you enough, but we come today, Lord, and we pray that you will help us to grow in praising you, grow in giving thanks to you, grow in recognizing that salvation comes from you alone, that honor and glory and power and might is yours alone, Lord, and you are worthy of praise for all that you've done in our lives, Lord, and all that you have, all that you are doing, and all that you are going to do. Lord, you're worthy of our worship, and we bow down before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts, because you're a good God, you're a good, good Father, and you're a great Savior and worthy of great praise. And so we thank you that we have our lips to praise you with, Lord, out of our hearts, O God, our hands, our total being. Lord, teach us how to offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you, Lord, because you are worthy. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today, putting us in our right mind, helping us to gather together to worship you. Lord, you know we're prone to wander, Lord, and we feel that. I feel that in my heart, Lord, but I'm thankful that you're the God who pulls us back to yourself. And you, Holy Spirit, we're thankful that you draw us closer, Lord God, and you don't let us go. Lord, we thank you for your great grace that you so lavishly pour out on us day by day. And we come today to listen, to hear, and we've come to pray and to praise, to sing. And we thank you today, Lord. And now we ask that you would guide us during these moments of time and from your word, Lord, in your truth, Lord, as you direct us and redirect us, as you transform us, as you deal with us in our hearts where you know we need to be dealt with, Lord. You're the God who encourages those that need to be encouraged and strengthened and built up, which we all do. We are praying and confident that you will do your work, the work in our hearts and in our minds that only you can do, Lord, for you look past the surface. You look deep within, Lord God, and you see what we need. We thank you for being the great shepherd who shepherds us through this life. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for loving us, and we're careful to give you the praise. Lord, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful to be able to be here today. Thankful to be able to stand. Believe me, literally, it's a great day to be here with the house of the Lord. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we begin a new series on really the person, the role, the power, and the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read a few verses, although we won't deal with all of those verses today. We'll be coming back to them. Today is time for us to get started, introductory time. We'll say a few things, and then we'll be preparing and praying through the upcoming weeks to take a deeper dive here. But let's read from 1 Corinthians 12. And Paul is writing the church at Corinth, and he writes, "Now concerning spiritual or spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen. The person, the role, and the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Today is an introduction, as I've stated, to the person, the role, and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. What we don't know can be detrimental to us, or it can keep us from experiencing the resources that are available to us that enhance our living and help us to live for the glory of our great God. A couple of years ago, I discovered a feature in my car that I never knew was there. Never knew was there. Mind you, I'd been driving the car for over 6 years. This feature is not essential equipment. Failure to use it didn't keep the car from starting and getting me around. It's an enhancement that could have given me some additional driving comfort, but it was right there in front of my face for all of those years. All I had to do was push the button. But because I didn't take the time to find out what that particular button was there for, it was useless. I'd looked at that button for all of those years, but never pushed it. I wondered about it, but I never pushed it. Until one day, out of curiosity, and this is true, I'm not making this up. Until one day, out of curiosity, I pushed the button and noticed that through my rearview mirror, a sunscreen was rolling up over my back window. And I said to myself, "Are you kidding me?" I was in awe. I was in awe. And I said to myself, "Where in the world did that come from?" It was there all the time. I said to myself, "You know, self, you had this feature all these years and never knew that it was there. I was ignorant of its presence and availability for use. It was there all the time. But because I never read the owner's manual that gave me the critical information that I needed to make use of it, the feature was absolutely useless to me. Because I was concerned only with the basics of starting the car, turning on the radio, the heat, the air conditioner, you know, all of those essentials, right? That's all I was concerned about. Because of that, I was ignorant of a feature that was available, had been made available to me since the day I drove the car off the lot. But again, that feature proved to be useless to me because I never read the owner's manual and I never pushed the button. Well, I asked this question, why is this series that we're venturing into on the person, the role, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, why is it important that we look into it? And I know we know some things about the Holy Spirit, right? But Paul told the church in Corinth that he did not want them to be ignorant about spiritual things. He did not want them to be unaware of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that he had distributed to each of them and what they were for. See, ignorance of the things of God is not bliss. If we think that ignorance of these temporal things is not bliss, think about those of us who say that we're children of God and there are things about God that we don't know. And I'll put in quickly that we'll invest a lifetime learning about God. You can't exhaust the knowledge of God. But there are things that God has given us that we need to know. What we don't know about the things of God that he wants us to know can certainly be detrimental to us and others. And it will definitely keep us from utilizing the spiritual resources that the Holy Spirit has made available to us, that the Lord our God has given to us to build his kingdom for his glory. This series of messages will focus on the person, the role, and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In short, we will strive to be more informed. I know you have some information, but we want to be more informed. So, as Paul says, we will not be ignorant, and that means don't know, that we will not be ignorant about who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and what difference he can make and does make in the lives of those who have repented and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is an important study because God is not finished working in the world yet. We're still here, right? And since we're still here, God is still working, and the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity who is actively engaged in the lives of believers to accomplish in us and through us what God has planned for his glory in and through our lives. We think often about the Father and Jesus, and we should. But we also need to know and think about the person of the Holy Spirit. We serve a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we'll flesh that out down the line. Not to be totally understood. I don't understand it. God hasn't. He's given us what he's given us, but we can take what he's given us in his word, and we can know him better. Millard Erickson said this in his book on theology. He said, "The Holy Spirit is the particular person of the Trinity through whom the entire triune Godhead works in us. The Holy Spirit is the most prominent member of the Godhead who is active in the lives of believers today. Since he functions in such a manner in the lives of believers, it is imperative that we seek to grasp a better understanding of who he is and what he does." Who he is and what he does. And he says, ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the things of God, particularly in our day. Amen? Amen. Amen. There's a whole lot going across to people today. And I don't know, I don't claim to know everything. There's a whole lot that I don't know. There's more that I don't know than what I do know, but I do know some things. And what we know, we want to share. And we want to learn together about the person and the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers today. Why are we engaging in this series of studies? And what should we come out with? Well, firstly, today, we should grow, as we trek through this, we should grow in our knowledge of God the Holy Spirit, and because of that knowledge, we should grow in experiencing his love for us and grow in our love for him. Grow in our love for him and his love for us. And really, I say, I'll put it in, insert it. It's really about relationship. It's about relationship. You know, if you really love somebody, then you're going to seek to get to know them a little bit better. Getting to know them better helps you to relate to them better, right? And it's a personal relationship that we have with the true and living triune God. And so what we want to do is to grow in that relationship. And in doing so, we want to grow in knowing him, loving him, and knowing his love for us. In response to the question to Jesus posed to him by some Pharisees, who were always trying to catch him, this question was asked of him: which is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? If somebody asked you that question, what would you say? What is the greatest commandment? That's it. He said, Matthew 22:37, but quoted from Deuteronomy 6:5, he said to him, to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The greatest thing we can do in life in terms of God is to love him with the totality of our being. That's all of us. All of us for all of him. All of us for all of him. And I'll say this and move on. Sometimes we compartmentalize God, right? We put it in a little box. We say, if we do this, if we're doing this, then we're loving God. Well, God doesn't just want us doing stuff. He wants that relationship. That doing is a part of loving him, but it's about everything, all of us, everything we do, not just when you come here, but out there in the big bad world as well, learning how to love the Lord our God. Loving the Lord refers not only to the Father and not only to the Son, but also, in light of our study, to the Holy Spirit. The God of the Bible, again, is a triune God. One God, three persons. And our goal is to grow in knowing the Holy Spirit just as we know the Father and the Son. And what I'm praying, and you pray with me about this together, I'm praying that our love for God will grow as we walk through this, as we focus the spotlight on the Holy Spirit, and as we listen to Scripture, as we learn of his active involvement within our hearts, within our minds, and within our souls, because the Spirit of God is at work. We don't know how to love God on our own. Amen, we don't. Our tendency may be, again, as I've said before, to put God in these little boxes. You know, we love him a little bit in this area of our lives, but not with our whole selves. And Jesus' command is to love God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with our whole selves, with our entire selves. How can we do that without the helper, the Holy Spirit, teaching us how to love? How can we move along the continuum of loving God with our whole selves unless God is working in us to help us get beyond our personal limitations and our personal fears, which we all deal with, of loving God and loving people? How can we get beyond those things that hold us back from loving vertically and horizontally, loving God and loving people? How can we get beyond that unless God helps us? And the amazing thing is that he does, and he will, if we want him to. What is exciting to think about, I noted, as we dive into this series, is the opportunity that we have individually and collectively as the body of Christ to grow in knowing better God the Holy Spirit particularly, and Father and Son, and growing to love them because our eyes are open more to the depth and breadth of their love and care for us. As we learn, as we know how much they love us, then we can learn and know how to love them in return, because love is something that's reciprocated, as it has to do with God and us. The Bible states that God is love. In Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through whom? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." See, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about down the line. He's the agent of love, I say here. We want to grow in experiencing more this love that comes from the one who is the agent of love. He makes it happen. He develops it within us and helps us to grow in it. And we want to learn to love the one who has poured out the love of God within our hearts, and to be able to experience that to a greater depth and a greater breadth. We love God because he first loved us. That's what 1 John 4:10 says, that this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us first. If you think that you love God first, then you're grossly mistaken. We can't love God unless he loves us. And he took the initiative. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. God is the great initiator in love. We don't love God without experiencing the love of God for us. And I say the more we learn and grow in experiencing the love of God for us, and see the depth and the breadth of his love for us, the more we will grow in loving him in return. Please note that this series is not merely about accumulating information about the love of God. Yeah, we must know truth. We have to know truth. Truth sets us free. But God wants us to know and has made available to us what he wants us to know. He's done that. But the truth of God's love is to be experienced and should draw us closer to the God who loved us. It's not just learning propositional truths. It's not just accumulating information, but it's experiencing the love of God. See, I'm praying that our journey will be an excursion which causes us to lean in more closely to God. It's about growing in our relationship with God through the ministry of the love of the Holy Spirit. And our simple life lesson is this, is that, and I hope you come with me in this expectation, that we should expect to know the Holy Spirit better. At the end of the journey, we should be able to walk away, yes, with more information, more knowledge about the Holy Spirit, more, and that comes from Scripture. What does the Word of God say about the person and work and power of the Holy Spirit? We should expect that. Lord, I want to know more of you. Lord, I have this much knowledge about you now, but Lord, at the end of this journey, help me to have this much. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says grow. Grow in grace and the knowledge of the truth. We don't want to continue to be immature, immature Christians. We want to be growing up. We should expect to know the Holy Spirit better and grow in experiencing the love of God and grow in loving him greater. Won't you come with me on that expectation? Amen. I was reminded that John 17:3, as Jesus was talking with the Father before he went to the cross, and he said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life, life to the fullest, is knowing God. You can exist and you can live the life of this world, but if you don't know God, then you don't have the eternal life, the life that God has for us. a life that is full of meaning, a life that gives us value and worth, a life that prepares us for the life to come. That's the eternal life that Jesus was talking about. It's about knowing him, and that knowing, and this is why I put in there, that knowing is an experiential know. It's not just an informational knowing. It's an experiential knowing. It's that, yes, you have some information, but it is more than having information. It's knowing the truth about God that walks with you in your daily experience. That truth helps you in your day-to-day living. It is knowing that he is present, hearing his voice, and communicating with him. That's experiential. It is experiencing the give and take that occurs in a relationship built on love, right? There's a give and take. There's a give and take. There's a give and take. And that's the type of relationship that I believe the Lord, as I read his word, wants us to have with him and experience through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is where we want to be as we grow in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, today, simply, we should, as we journey through this, we should grow in living on this earth as the redeemed children of God, living here, knowing the Holy Spirit, experiencing him, experiencing his love. It's about living on this earth as the redeemed children of God because of his work in our lives. The Bible says that we are saved out of sin. And we were saved out of our sin to live in and enjoy the love of God and love him in return. God loved us. He sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. He came to redeem us out of the sin, to give us that righteous standing before him because of the righteousness of Christ. We have that. We have a legal standing before God as being righteous. Does it mean that we don't sin? You know it doesn't. And I know that it doesn't mean that. It means that God has imputed, he has given us his righteousness. He said, you believe in my son, you repent of your sin of rejecting me, and you accept what I have done for the forgiveness of your sins, then I am going to consider you to be righteous because of Jesus Christ. That is awesome to me when you think about it. That's what he has done. But as redeemed children of God, we have been left here to live as citizens of his kingdom on this earth. We are foreigners here, and yet we have a mandate from our great loving God to live not as citizens of this world, not like we used to live, not like the culture around us. We're not to let the world squeeze us into its mold, as someone has said. But by the power of the God who is in us, we live as the redeemed children of the true and living God. You know, we have a great opportunity to live in submission to the Holy Spirit's work in us and have God's redeeming power put on display through our daily living. That's what God puts his work on display through us, because you and I, well, maybe I'll just say me, because I know I don't have the power to live as God has set out in his word. It's impossible without some help. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and particularly through the work of the Holy Spirit. God's saving work is not just saving us from hell. It is that. He's redeemed us from condemnation. But it is also a work of demonstrable, dynamic transformation. That means you can see, as a child of God, somebody can see that something has happened in your life. A change has come and a change is coming. You're not what you used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not getting into the things that try to drop. I'm the lust of my flesh and the lust of my eyes and a boastful pride of what I have or do. There is something that is governing my life that is helping me to be more than an overcomer. And it's not me. It's not me. It is the power of the living God through the work of the Holy Spirit in us that is helping us. If the Holy Spirit is at work in us, it's visible. It's visible. You can see it. Holy Ghost power is something that should be operative in us today. And when we're talking about Holy Ghost power, I can tell you from my readings of the word, is more than some of the stuff that we see where they're talking about the people got the Holy Ghost. No, you can see something is changing and change in your living, your thinking, how you process life, how you see the world, how you see life, and consequently how you act, because our thoughts precede our actions. Living as children of God is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Paul said to the church in Corinth in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. I couldn't address you as mature. Couldn't address you like that." Were they children of God? Yes. They were, but he said, I have to address you like I'm addressing you. I can't address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Why was that? Well, because they weren't living by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said in 12:1, I don't want you to keep being ignorant, uninformed, unaware. I want you to know, because the Holy Spirit does something in us when we submit to his work in us. When we are living by the Holy Spirit, we grow up. We grow up. We are on a growth continuum. It's not going to end until we go to be with the Lord. But when we are living by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we are growing up, and we conquer certain things in us are conquered that we say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, it may be. That's a true statement. I know there's some things about me that is the way I am, but is that the way the Lord wants you to be? And if it's not, then Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because I know this is not looking like I am a child of God right now. When we are living by the Holy Spirit, we do move along that growth continuum. And we begin more to live as maturing. Maturing, notice I didn't say mature, because mature is, that's like, it's complete. It's finished. Well, we won't be mature as God intends us to be until we go to be with him. So we have to put it in the continual tense. We're maturing children of God. We think from a spiritual perspective, and we live by the Spirit of God, not the flesh, and not as baby Christians in Christ. No, we're growing up. We're growing up. And the Holy Spirit does that work. In 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Yes. The Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us. Yes, he sets us apart. He sets us apart, but that work of sanctifying, it is continual. He continues to work on us to help us to live in obedience to him on this earth. And he, if you are truly a child of God and I'm truly a child of God, we got to know that the Holy Spirit wants to help us to grow up. He's not giving up on you. You may give up on you. You may think other people may give up on you, but he doesn't give up on us. And we may be hard-headed and not listen and stubborn as we can be and prideful and think we can do this on our own, but we can't. But the Holy Spirit is always somehow working. He doesn't make us. We are free will beings, and we must make the choice to submit ourselves to what he's doing so that we can grow up. We may have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and yet you may still be a baby in Christ in some ways. That can be true of all of us. I know we got grown folk in here and whatnot, but we think we're there, but we can still be babes in Christ. You may be in your 40s or 60s or older or younger, but there's still some growing that we all have to do as children of God, right? If you don't know it, just get serious about really opening up the word and looking at what God says about us living on this earth. You might be a newborn in Christ. You may be a younger follower of Jesus. Your age doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Regardless of your age, if you have claimed to have repented and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior of your life, then here's the life lesson that we need and that we're looking to grab hold of as we go through this. We should all have the expectation that we will move up higher, up to a higher level of living. A higher level of living. And what's that? That higher level is by the work of the Spirit in us. A more mature level in living as redeemed children of God on this earth because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. See, it's about right now. What's God doing right now in your life? You know, we talk about him saving us 1,500 years ago, but what is he doing right now? How do we see, what is the manifestation of the Spirit's work in your life right now? Today, this week, in the future. That's where we want to live as redeemed children of God because the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And lastly here, we should be looking and expecting to grow as witnesses of Jesus in the world because of the effective work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All of this leads to Jesus. He's the end of it all. Scripture says he's the end of the law. He's the fulfillment, the completion of it. But Jesus is at the center of it all. Because if we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't exalt Jesus Christ or glorify him or glorify God in some way, then something is amiss with that whole thinking. In Acts 1 and 8, when Jesus was talking with his disciples, and you'll know it, in Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said this, because they were asking the Lord, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus responded. He says, it's not for you to know. And the times, the seasons, that ain't your business. That shouldn't be your concern right now. You trying to figure it all out, trying to put it all on a timeline. No, that's not your concern right now. This is your primary concern, our Lord said in Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power, as we talk about, to live as children of God and to love God and to be his witnesses comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, you're going to receive that power. And you will be my witnesses. My witnesses. Whose witnesses? The witnesses of Jesus Christ. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the most remotest part of the world. If you're living by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be my witnesses in those expanding circles of influence. See, the Holy Spirit works with us, yes, to enable us to experience the love of God and to love him in return. And he enables us to live up to the calling that we have as redeemed children of God. But from this, out of this, we are equipped by the Holy Spirit to put Jesus on display, to put him on display, to be his witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 12 that we read today, Paul had to bring clarification to the church, particularly in this chapter about spiritual gifts. But he was clarifying some things all the way through 1 Corinthians and really all of his writings. But something was mixed up in their minds and particularly, I believe, in their hearts about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, the gifts that they had. There was confusion. There was ignorance about what those spiritual gifts were. There was some boasting taking place. Some thought they were better than others because they had certain gifts. But Paul makes it clear at the outset in verse 3 of where we read that it was not the gifts given by the Holy Spirit that is most important. That's not the most important thing. It is Jesus. It was Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And he's the one that's put on display. He's the one to whom we are witnesses. When the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, whatever we are doing, whatever your gifts are, whatever's going on in your life, wherever you're walking and talking and living and breathing, whatever we're doing, it's about Jesus, our Lord. He is exalted and should be exalted through his church. Not just when we come here, but church, again, out there in the big, bad world where you work and play and where you hang out, your associations, all Jesus is there. And I'm not talking about you going around all the time just saying Jesus, 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 or wearing a big placard on your, you know, Jesus. No, we're not talking about that. But some way, somehow, just out of the, as you are going, just out of the natural flow of our lives, some way there is that Jesus comes, what he has put in us comes out of us, and he is made known. We are witnesses in the world. In the world. And I want to keep emphasizing, in the world. You don't need to be a witness up in here. You don't. You don't need to be a witness up in here. We know up in here it's about Jesus. But it's when you get out there, when the pressure comes and the world begins to pull on us and the temptations arise, it's out there when the different ways of thinking about life and what life is about, when they start hitting us, it's out there that we find out whether Jesus is really Lord of our lives. But Jesus is exalted through his church. We are his witnesses in the world. Our lives give testimony, or they should, to the reality of Jesus and the redemptive work of Jesus in our lives. Jesus told them, and he's telling us, you will be my witnesses when the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. And I thought about this too, just by way of introductory matter. In the book of Acts, you read through the book of Acts, maybe if you haven't, read it. And just see how many times the Holy Spirit comes up. But in the book of Acts, we see those who were redeemed living changed lives because of Jesus and the work of the Spirit of God in their lives. They were giving up their idol worship because of Jesus, living in community because of Jesus, learning how to love on one another because of Jesus. And all of this happened through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Apostles and the Acts of the people of God that we read about in the book of Acts were empowered by the Acts of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And again, their witness took place in the world. In their day-to-day living, they were witnesses of the person of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit acted so that Jesus would be exalted in the world and people would be saved and redeemed and their lives turned to him. You know, nothing has changed about God's agenda. Did you know God has an agenda? He does. He has a kingdom agenda. God has an agenda. Nothing has changed about God's agenda of glorifying Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed. It's what the church is about. We get helped. People get helped. But at the end of the day, it's still about Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate goal of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:4, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and they were concerned because he was leaving. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. But you need to know this. He will glorify me. John 16:14. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So we'll look at that whole aspect of the Holy Spirit and him working in us to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is still active in the lives of those who submit to Jesus and believe. And he still empowers us to make Jesus Christ known in the world. We are the witnesses of Jesus in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is about Jesus Christ. Do people see Jesus? Or do in us and through us? Or do they see the spirit of this age, instead of the Holy Spirit putting Jesus on display through our lives? Listen, as a lesson, I think we should expect to experience that presence, that power, and that leading of the Holy Spirit as the one who helps us to be witnesses of Jesus on this earth. More effective witnesses of Jesus. Jesus gets more props than he has been getting from us. He is made known through our lives more than he has been being made known. What greater testimony that Jesus is with us and the Spirit is at work among us and the Father is leading us than to see the agape community of believers sharing Jesus as we go about our daily business. In Revelation 19:10, John was writing about the revelation that Jesus Christ gave him about what's to come. And he said this in Revelation 19:10. It says, then I fell at his feet to worship him. He saw it was an angel. Okay. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. See, if it was Jesus, Jesus wouldn't have said, do not do that. Because Jesus is worship. Said, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And then he said this, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit, the sum, the substance of prophecy. the testimony of Jesus Christ is at the end of what we're talking about, of what God has to say. Because prophecy is talking about what God says. And what God the Father is talking about is God the Son. And what God the Holy Spirit is doing is making God the Son known through us. It's about the witness of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, our lives are about Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who works in us to make Jesus known. And I say that the world is in great need today. People are looking for hope and peace, searching for meaning, right? Yeah. Wondering what happens after this life. You know, what's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when my folks die? Well, the Bible tells us, and Jesus is the answer. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to make him known in the world. How will we grow in the knowledge of the person, the role, and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How will that help us? Well, we will experience the love of God to a greater degree. The love of God to a greater degree. And learn to love him more than we do right now. Don't you want to love God more than you do right now? And don't we want to experience the love of God for us more than we do right now? Also, we talked about we will begin to think and live more like children of God. Are we really thinking and living like children of God? Let's look to go there. Let's put that out before us as a goal. To think and live more like children of God. Our lives will be living proof that the Holy Spirit is really at work in us. We won't have to put on a show. No, it'll be evident that the Holy Spirit is really at work in us. And lastly, we will become more effective witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be able to make him known. No more excuses. No more I can't do that. No more I can't live like that. No more I'm scared. No, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And that power and sound mind comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Won't you bow with me? Great God, we're thankful for your work in us. We're thankful, dear Father, that you sent the Son. We're grateful, Jesus, that you came and that you gave yourself so that we could repent and believe and be forgiven of all our sins. And Lord, we do so want to grow in knowing you more. Lord, would you help us to move past just the informational stage, just knowing some facts about you, knowing some scripture verses. Lord, we want to experience you, O Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, to that end, we want to submit ourselves to you over these next few weeks, Lord, of knowing the person, the role, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, would you teach us individually and teach us collectively who you are, Lord? Would you teach us about your work? Teach us about what you have already done, the things you've already given us, and teach us, Lord, how to see those appropriated in our lives. God, we don't want to be immature followers of Christ. We don't want to hear what the church at Corinth had to hear, Lord, that you couldn't speak to us as spiritual, as those who were walking in step with the Spirit, but as babes in Christ. Lord, would you help us to have a willingness to grow up, to do that self-evaluation as we look into the mirror of your word and you evaluate us, Lord, and help us to remember that you evaluate not to condemn us, Lord, but to help us, that we may live the lives that you have planned for us. So much more for us you have than what we can have apart from you. So help us to be submissive, to walk in obedience to you, to trust you. And Lord, I'm confident that as we learn just how much you love us and learn to love you in return, we'll learn to trust you more. And we'll learn to believe what you've said and walk in what you've said. And Lord, we know you want that more than what we want it. So we submit ourselves to you today, that Jesus Christ would be exalted in us and through us, and that he would be made known in a world where people don't know you, where people don't know him, and where those who desperately need him and those you desperately want to save. We thank you, Lord. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. And as you do these things, Lord, help us to remember that it is you, through the work of the Holy Spirit, you who are doing it. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. There might be someone as I extend an invitation, as God has already extended it. The Bible says God loved the world so much, so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, if one would believe in him, he will not perish. That's his promise. You will not perish, but you'll have eternal life. That's God's promise to us, eternal life. And that eternal life begins now. It's not just fire insurance. It's not just delivering you from hell, but it's the life that God has planned for you right now on this earth. So won't you believe what God said, that he loved you so much, that he gave his life for you, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, died, took on the punishment for our sins on that cross, and he rose on the third day, and he said, if you believe, all your sins, past, present, and future, will be forgiven. Won't you believe that and say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I submit myself to you. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I receive your love for me. Won't you do that today? Won't you say that simple prayer and give your life to Christ? If you never made that conscious decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if you have and you're without a church family, won't you make the Agape Bible Church your church home, or some church your home where you can connect and you can grow in Christ with fellow believers. Once you make that decision today, if you do, you can come forth. If you're here today, if you're not here, if you're listening, or in the future, you can let me know. Send me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Once you make a decision today, the Lord loves you and he wants you. Won't you give yourself to him? Come to him today. Amen. Won't you stand with me for our benediction? Praise him. Praise him. All creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Now to him, our great God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, to him and him alone be glory and majesty, dominion and power, henceforth, now and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.